Well, the book helped that process. So all that credibility I have that I can share and then give my team the tool that we never had before, that they don't have to travel like we did. It's still work.
Yeah.
But it just accelerates the process and does give the total possibility, because I am gifted enough, I believe, that I can impact 1 million families. And you think about the rest of the financial industry, if someone says that in an office, they go, you're out of here. What are you? But no, we can, because of our business model, our tools, and why not?
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave.
All right, welcome to another edition of Leadership Live. I'm excited to share with you today some of the stuff that's been in the news that I think is going to be something you'll know if you've been watching the news at all. You've been hearing a lot about it. This is one of those things where, you know, you hear about people living paycheck to paycheck, and you know, automatically when you hear that, you think about somebody who maybe doesn't make very much money, or you think about somebody who's kind of got maybe just a job they haven't had very long. And looking at the numbers that were just released, it was a brand new paycheck to paycheck report done by Lending Club, and it's been all over the news. And they're basically showing there that if you look at the chart, that the people that have been living paycheck to paycheck, and you look at how it's broken down there, about 46% of the people in May 2021 did not live paycheck to paycheck. But now in 22, a year later, look at that. The number's gone down, but the other numbers are crazy. So, for instance, the people that are living paycheck to paycheck, 38.7%, according to that study here in May of this year. But really what it does, it breaks down based on how much you make. And so there's another chart they published, which I thought was really well done, that says, here's consumers living paycheck to paycheck going back the last 12 months. And here they are. The orange line there is people that make more than $100,000. So you would think somebody making $100,000 or somebody making $250,000 that they're just kind of set, but actually they're just maybe sometimes broke at a higher level. And you can see there that in the middle of last year, November actually, that half the people making over $100,000 were living paycheck to paycheck, which is crazy. If you look at the number above that, it's between $50,000 and $100,000. That was 66% at one time. And then, of course, people make less than 50, 78% living paycheck to paycheck in the fall of last year. Even if you look at it today, as current as May, it's 77% under 50,000, 62% that are making 50 to 100, and then 36% of people that are making more than 100,000. So these are real numbers. And so the reason I wanted to show this to you in this part of the show today is because I believe that in addition to having the best products and services on the financial side, I believe we've got one of the great business opportunities that exist out there in the marketplace. And what all those people really need is more income. They need a chance to maybe have a business on the side, a business of their own, something that's maybe part-time today, maybe a career change later, maybe a whole new business, whole new idea of how they earn money, and something maybe without limits. Because I can tell you most jobs have not only limits, but definite limits and maybe low limits. And we've got a business with no limits. No matter how low you start, no matter how part-time you are, this can become your life's work and become something you can make a lot of money at. You can help a lot of people. So I want you to see that and see the real numbers. I saw something the other day that said that people that make over 250 are really in the same boat as the people that make 100,000. So you've got to make a lot of money in this country before you don't have to somehow have some regularity to your cash flow. And I can tell you from my own personal example, having been in this business for 40 years, that early on when I wasn't making big money, I was in the same spot. I was an entrepreneur, I had office expenses, but I was able to build a big enough team, and many of you have been able to build a big enough team to have the idea of living paycheck to paycheck be something in our rearview mirrors way back. And so I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way, that you can make some decisions about your career that can help you to get that fixed. But to continue that conversation, I wanted to introduce you guys to somebody who doesn't really need an introduction. This is Executive Marketing Director Steve Miller here from Atlanta. Steve's one of my great lifelong friends. We're both from Ohio, and he's been in our business for many, many years and got just one of our great businesses. Has produced an EVC on his team, so he knows how to build leaders. But one of the things you're also an expert at is how to build clients and how to turn contacts into both clients and teammates into leaders.
Thank you.
So I wanted to have an interview with Steve today to maybe talk a little bit about that. I know that this is a new era where we don't have to do it the old way. In the old ways, back in the days, we ran ads. We'd have to travel to cities personally, and that's the only way to do it. We'd be holding meetings with strangers in hotels and just all kinds of stuff to try and somehow find a way to get this moving. If one of our people in our local office moved to another city, we'd go there and try and help them. Really, it was very difficult. And today, so much of that has changed. And so, as you know, when things change, the number one reluctance people have is their resistance to change. You know, everybody wants to be bigger and make more money and be more successful, but just about everybody doesn't want to change to do it. They somehow think the success fairy is going to come along and bring it and just drop it off to them just because they're them. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. If you want a business to be different, you have to do something different. And in today's world, that's typically going to mean it's somehow going to involve marketing and leadership. Those are the two things that drive these. And as far as leadership goes, that's evolved. You know, we do so much today on Zoom and meetings that you can do online. We live in a time when you can call people and it's free. You know, I remember when it used to be $5 or $10 in long distance charges to do a leadership call with somebody. And now it's just simply not. It's free. And on. All the things that modern technology have brought us on the leadership side to make it easy to build a big team fast and keep it rolling. But as I look at this from the client side, one of the things that I noticed a few years back was that what people like us don't need is we don't really need a lot of credibility. We have it. You know, if you've been in business as long as you have or I have, that's a credibility in itself. Maybe it's the color of your hair or just the people knowing how long you've been doing it, but something, you're established. But what if you're new? Well, you can do it one of two ways. You can take 5, 10, 15, 20 years to establish credibility through success in a lot of years, or you can figure out how to have tools that help you collapse the time frames of that. So if in our case, we use the How Money Works book that's become a bestseller, the best-selling personal finance book out there, and CNBC did a book review of it, and we've been on TV almost 250 times. So you put all those three things together, it's a published book. It's on Amazon. There's a credibility there. That cover of that book's been seen on TV 250 times, national TV, by over 100 million people. That's a credibility. They may not have heard of the book, but they've heard of CBS and NBC and ABC and Fox News. They've heard of CNBC and where the book review is. So and all of this has sort of been vetted that way. It's on Amazon. Things are official when they're on Amazon. It's one of the reasons this is a book and not a brochure. Brochures can't get on TV. Brochures don't have credibility. They seem like propaganda. Brochures don't have the ability to be sold on Amazon. So we've got this ability now to have something that's got that credibility. And then there's a handoff of credibility, an exchange of credibility that I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what you're doing, the volume you're doing it at, and what results it's been for you. And I want to talk about how you feel that this has saved you time. If it takes an hour to read the book, that's probably an hour of you talking you don't have to do.
Exactly.
So if you go out and share 1,000 books, that's 1,000 hours of talking you don't have to do. What is the value of that? A wear and tear, you know, how many? We're all good, but we can't talk to more than one person at one time one-on-one. But a book can. Mm-hmm. Multiple books can. So as you said, as we were talking about today, you said everybody's missed moments like this before, but you can't let that happen again. For you or your family, and most importantly, your team, who looks to you as an example. If there's a new way of saying it or doing it that comes along, you as a leader got to always have your eye open for that and say, how could this help me make my business go faster or be bigger or all the different ors that come along with great marketing? So you overlap great marketing with great leadership, and you got something that can grow. You got to always be looking for the next marketing and always be looking for a better way and get more experience and be better at leadership. So as I look at this, you said you got to have a goal that's a big goal. You called it a big, hairy, audacious goal.
And absolutely,
I love that.
Yes.
To start with, you know, the idea that you would have 1,000 books out there sounds like a lot when you first say it. You know, oh my gosh, 1,000 books. You know, and you start thinking, well, how would I get, who would I know? And we all know that everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket. I can reach right in here right now. Mine has got almost 4,000 contacts in here. So it used to be those are spread all around my world. They were in business cards, they were scraps of paper, they were different desks and different Rolodexes and all kinds of things. Now it's all in one place. I could tell you when I talked to him last, what I sent, what we sent back and forth. I almost could put a score on how well I know him and what's going on with him. So that just makes me know that it's not the size of the people that you know or the contacts that you have. It's the size of the action and the activity that you bring to them to cause your business to go. If you were a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, how would the world know that's what you do? Well, you'd have to tell somebody. They're not going to wake up one day and just guess, hey, I wonder if Steve Miller's this or that. You got to let people know what you're up to. And part of that is so much more credible when you say the things we're going to teach today. Like I teach out of the best-selling personal finance book, I teach people how money works. That's just a conversation starter, and it never stops. But I wanted to say one more thing about 10,000 books, because I know a lot of people hear that and they think, oh my gosh, 10,000 books, what in the world? Do you guys know that, like anything else, if you break it down, it's not that many? So for instance, do you have 10 leaders on your team? Well, I think pretty much everybody does. If you have 10 leaders that could do 1,000, there's your 10,000. And do you know that 10 leaders at 1,000, that's 10 people under them at 100 or 20 people at 50? So if you have 20 people in your business that can share one case of books, not even a full case,
yeah,
you just hit 1,000 books. We should have our leaders doing that every month. And you should have 10 or 12,000 books a year. That will just change everything. That will put these books in circulation, which we'll talk about today. But I wanted to say that about that. What would be your comment about this, about how big people think?
Well, it is a big number, and that's why breaking it down into what we call the reduction to the ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, because I started with 10,000 books, and thought that was crazy, because it was that BHAG. And then I thought, well, for the average person, maybe I ought to break it down to 1,000.
Right.
Because if you do, just take 1,000 books divided by 12 months, well, that's just like 5 books a day for 200 days. So that's not that big a number. And then it's probably not just people you know. Yeah, most people know 1,000 people. Like you said, they're in their phone.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you have a couple people on your team that have 100 people, and you just stay consistent with that. And all of a sudden, 200 days, you've got 1,000 people that could have a book. But the action is what most people won't do.
Well, today's world is so different. I mean, I remember when people would be your friend back in the day, you know, and then for whatever reason, you lost track of them, somebody you went to school with, or somebody you were at a job with. When you switch jobs or you graduate, many times you never see them again.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a phone back then that had them in there, so there's no way to stay in touch with them. And they'd go on to their life, and you go on to yours, and you totally lose track. I'm friends with nobody I went to grade school with, and nobody I went to high school with, and almost nobody I went to college with. And how's that possible? My daughters, on the other hand, are still friends with every one of their people they went to middle school, high school, and college with, sorority with, worked with. They're connected. They're in groups together. They're on social media together. They stay in touch. So contacting is much stickier today than it ever used to be. So any of you that are probably 35 or 40 or less, you have no excuse.
Oh, absolutely.
Us guys that are a little older than that, we're going to have to go get the slips of paper out and figure out how to do it. And although I will say, you know, the cell phone changed in 07 when Steve Jobs invented the smartphone. And so most of us have had a smartphone since then, not too far from it. And that does make a heck of a difference. But look at the possibility results here. You gave a couple examples that I thought were really good. You said 1 out of 10 books can, if that leads to a client, which in my opinion is a very low number to look at. That may be what it is for your first 100 books as you're learning this and you maybe you're bad at it to start with. But once you get much above 100 books, and if you're giving the people that you have any relationship with, and that's one thing I want to clarify. You know, we have never said give books to strangers and they will trust you with their money. We've never said that. But somehow people will say, I gave out books and I got nothing out of it. What do you mean you got nothing out of it? Who'd you give them to? And it was not much more than literally dropping them off at the Braves game or at the bus station or something. I mean, you got to know somebody. You got to have a conversation and cultivate your friendship with them. This is a measure of your friendship as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're giving it to strangers, you're going to get low results. But if you give it to people you know and they like you and you like them and you work on and focus on building the relationship, the nice thing is you may get 1 out of 10 to become a client to start with, but the other 9 out of 10 are still pending because you don't get a hard no. They don't say, don't ever call me again, I hate you. Hopefully you're giving somebody you know and that just you didn't get up with them yet. And it's still pending. As you learn to say it better and show it better and be better, maybe their timing will be better. But at 1 out of 10, if you shared 1,000 books, that's 100 clients. And at 3,000 net points, which is what our team averages, that's 300,000 points. What in the world? If you're a training associate at 25%, that's 75 grand.
And you couldn't stay there.
You couldn't stay there. or 35%, you know, and if you become an SMD, it's $195,000. You get your ring.
Yes.
So what I don't understand, maybe you can help me with this, Steve, what would make somebody decide to go slow? I think I'll give out just a couple and see if it works. If you knew the law of high numbers working for you, making lots of contacts, no matter how you make the contacts, use a book or don't use a book, but if you make 1,000 contacts, you're going to get some things going.
Absolutely. It's belief, and I know Steve's talked about it. It's that rejection factor. People just can't face the fact that somebody might reject them and their belief, and that's the reason they should get the books out there as a helper, one,
because
it's borrowed credibility, and that gives them a chance to have a better chance of success, because a little bit of success, even if they say, I like the book,
right,
let alone become a client or an associate, that's the cherry on top. But people saying, yeah, I like that book. That was a good book.
Well, and when you do it, your team does it. So and I noticed you mentioned on their personal and overrides and bonuses combined. That's a pretty fascinating list there.
Oh, yes.
I mean, in a world where I just showed you that people aren't making money.
Yes.
You know, living paycheck to paycheck, even at some of those kind of levels, making six figures. And if you could go start a part-time business that with activity like this could lead to an extra 75 to 100 to 195,000, that would be a life-changing thing for almost every family out there. And I've heard this morning on the news that 157 million families in North America are living paycheck to paycheck. How is it that we haven't shared a book with them and said, hey, do you realize that 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 people don't have any financial literacy, would love to get it, would love to get it from somebody they know, maybe it could begin a trust relationship with, that could be you, and you wouldn't have to be whatever you were. When you were born, they didn't stamp what you're doing today on your butt and you're stuck with that forever. You could be anything you want to be in America. It's one of the great things about living here. You can reinvent yourself. You could be a completely different profession. You could go from blue collar to white collar. You could go from part-time to full-time. You could go from this kind of career to that kind of career, completely different. All of us, really. I mean, this is not my first job. I've had to reinvent myself many times.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have, too. So I just love those numbers there and just the reality of that. That, by the way, who else in America, let alone our company, has created a tool that will allow you to measure activity and contacting and get any kind of way of... Because if you leave it just a conversation, it could be all over the place. You don't know when a contact actually happened. Is this many words of contact, or does it take that many words? Or does it come from me, or can it come from you? But whether you get it from me, who wrote it, or a brand new person who's been here for 5 minutes, it's the same book. It's the same article. It's the same video. So you got that chance. It could get the same result. And you just got to work towards that. And if you've noticed through your leader helping you, and if you just notice on your own that there's an area you need to improve, I could tell you most people don't need to improve in any other way except for more volume.
More volume.
Because only through that will you actually learn. How did Tom Brady learn how to throw touchdown passes? How did Tiger Woods learn how to make putts to win golf tournaments? He didn't learn it because he read a book on it or he talked to someone else and got their opinion about what he was doing. He practiced. And practice here is sharing books. So I don't mean to be a broken record on all that.
No, but the tool part. This is our new tool. And our tool used to be more like a pick and shovel.
Right.
And now we got a mechanical tool, jackhammer, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
So the new tool. And the tool makes it a lot easier.
Well, it sure does. It gives you a chance to be very predictable. You know exactly what that book is going to say 24 hours a day. Sometimes just sharing the book is enough. Seeing that there's a book and it's not just hot air. That's a credibility. Then if they read it, this was designed so if they read the front and back cover, they're going to go, huh, this looks like this might be something good here. If they open up and read just a little bit of the beginning, they're going to feel it. Of course, we'd love to have them spend an hour and read the whole thing, but they all won't do that. Possibility B here is the other one that I'm really excited about, that you were saying, what if one out of 20 could become a teammate? What would that look like? Well, 1,000 books divided by 20 is 50 new teammates. So if you want to build a team, get 1,000 books out there and watch 50 of them potentially become teammates. And so if you have a new team member and two new clients for every 10 books you get out there, what in the world? I mean, that's unbelievable.
It goes back to that width, depth, security, cash flow, promotions that we all want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think those are reasonably low numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hitting 1 out of 20 on the recruit side, hitting 1 out of 10 on the client side, my number's much higher. I could tell you this, the reason people have a lower number with recruiting with this, they don't even try. You know, for whatever reason, something like this that's so consumerist makes you think you need to approach somebody as a potential client and almost like use your crystal ball to decide whether you think they'd be interested. Mm-hmm. When you don't realize, aren't you glad the person that introduced this to you didn't just make you a client and gave you a chance to become a business owner? And that may or may not have been perfect timing for you, but you were glad to have the opportunity to make that decision.
Yes.
And so that's what I think you've done here. So you've got both of those going. And then talk about your personal goal.
Well, my personal goal, and I wrote it down years ago, was somehow I could help 1 million families.
Right.
Which is crazy. Again, I can't do that by myself. So I knew I needed a team. But then all of a sudden, well, how am I going to do this? And then the book came along. Wait a minute. The book just opened the possibilities door wider.
Yes.
And made it even more believable. And I wasn't in business by myself or without help. And the book was all the help I thought I needed now. That now just not me being able to do it, but I could duplicate that faster.
Well, now 3 years later, I can tell you every day I walk in the office, you've got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 books in the outgoing mail. So you're in here in the morning making sure that the first thing you do every day is make sure you do today's contacting. And then you spend the rest of the day reaching out to people, following up, holding event, holding meetings, you know, making things happen. But with no contacting, there's nothing to follow up on. And you've been making that happen now for years. I know you've had some good jumps in your cash flow the last couple of years. And I got your $500,000 ring on your way to 750, maybe this year, you know, we'll see. And you start looking at stuff like that and think, how is it that a couple guys from Ohio can take a tool and reach out to people and turn that into success like you have?
I don't know. Hard work and working with smarter people than yourself. That's what I've determined.
Well, I'll tell you, putting out a big goal, you know, to try and help 1 million families, again, it sounds like a lot till you break it down and figure out what if that meant, you know, you get, you know, a million books out there. Why not? There's 350 to 375 million people in this country, and approximately 250 million of them have no idea about money.
Yeah.
So you're not even getting 1%. You know, that's in my mind, that's a lower number to shoot for, but it's a big number.
Yeah.
And what would that mean to you and your team if you had 1 million clients? I mean, gosh, that'd be unbelievable to think that you had that kind of impact. So these are the six areas that you're focused on sending the books to. And I thought it was just very fascinating to see that your goal is 5 books a day. I know a lot of people are saying that they want to get out 1 or 2 books a day, or some are saying they want to get out 1 or 2 books a week. I am so thankful that the guy I worked with wouldn't let me think small like that. And I'm sure your team's very thankful that you've been looking at this. But basically, 5 a day times 200 days is your 1,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
So every 200 days, you're at 1,000 yourself.
Yes.
Which is one reason why your cash flow and the people you're helping and all that is growing so fast.
Well, and of those 5 books, some of those are some of my team.
Right.
So a goal is 5, and I'd rather that somebody on my team gave me 5 people
sure.
to send them to.
Sure.
So yeah, so we get them out.
Well, so you're not talking about just regular contacts, but clients,
mm-hmm.
beneficiaries of clients, new prospects, people that are maybe on somebody's 25 name list that you don't know, and then of course referrals, and then former associates. I think that's a fascinating one too. So we're going to talk about these sort of in order. So talk about your follow through and how you look at that.
Well, first it has to be systematic. You have to have some system set up to make sure you're following the right steps. Because what we learned early on, and I think there's another slide that talks about, we started sending the books out without letting people know they were coming. Talk about a recipe for failure.
Right.
So again, but you got to do it, and we did it. So systematically tracking and use a spreadsheet. If you got some type of CRM, great, but a spreadsheet's really more effective. Well, who you're sending it to, when did you send it, what step are you on, and then, you know, getting appointments set, you know, taking the time to, if you're going to follow up after you sent the book, well, the goal is eventually set some appointments.
So yeah, right.
Set some appointments, ask for referrals, and do things like workshops, like I've got one tonight.
Right.
And so it's just following through. I call it more follow through than follow up.
Right, right. That's really good. Well, let's talk about this. So the first thing you mentioned is you got to build a list of your contacts, and you got to do it on some kind of spreadsheet. I know everybody's not a spreadsheet person, but I mean, you could do it on a legal pad if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But we recommend a spreadsheet because it's just so much easier to keep track of, and you can pull it up when you're talking to somebody. You can maybe have some of the things you want to make sure you've mentioned to talk about, something that works, put a little note down and make sure you say it again. And you reach out to 1,000 people, you're going to have this down. I am so fortunate that I did 500 contacts my first 3 weeks as we started the company back in 92.
Mm-hmm.
That put me on a path to where I am today. And that contacting, I don't know what I was saying in the beginning, but by the end, I felt like I was laser focused. I felt like when I talked to them, they're going to say yes. I didn't feel that way on number one, but on number 500, I certainly did. And so you're talking about using email, using texting, but some kind of contact before they get it in the mail.
Yes, absolutely. So they know, well, what is this all about? And so to use the information about the fact that, you know, we're in the financial literacy business. We're into teaching people about money, the things that we didn't learn in school. And they aren't going to argue with that because
right.
Everybody will pretty well say the same thing. Yeah, my family didn't teach me. My friends didn't teach me. So, and then following with, you know, I'm fortunate to be involved with the company with the best-selling book,
right?
How Money
right.
Works. And I thought of you. I couldn't think of anybody else but you and how important it was for you to get a copy of the book. So what's your address?
Well, and these guys can see the words you just said on the screen there, so they can do screen captures and see what's going on. But now you got to share the book, and sharing the book could mean in person. You meet people, and you know, you keep them in your trunk, I guess, or you have one on you. But if they're either at a distance or you're not in front of them, you could get one in the mail. Mm-hmm. and get it out to them. So here's the first one. So if you're going to give a book to somebody, my personal opinion, I think yours is too, you have to write a note inside there. You got to say something to them that's going to cause them to know that you care and you're doing this personally. So it starts with a compliment sentence. However you know them, have met them, have worked with them, whatever that is. If it's the manager of your favorite restaurant, write a sentence about how much you enjoy the food there and how great they've taken care of you. Or anything else you spend money on. If they do your dry cleaning, I love how clean you make my clothes, or how what you do for my car, or how you cut my hair. All the places you spend money. That's a great way to start it off. And then you just got to say, this is the book I teach financial literacy from. That is such a powerful sentence because that makes this sound like a textbook. It gives it a lot of validity and credibility. Then they're going to figure out pretty quickly, this is the one that's all over TV and the one that's been reviewed by CNBC. It'll help you become smarter with money. Who doesn't want to be smarter with money? That doesn't mean you have some or you don't, or that you're dumb or smart with money. It just means you got a chance to become smarter with money. I'm not sure you can offend somebody with that.
No.
And then the last one is, let's stay in touch. Because let's stay in touch does not mean you're my new Mark and I'm going to be all over you until I sell you. It doesn't make them feel like you identified them as your next prospect. It means you're appreciative of how we met, or we were neighbors, or we went to school together, or we coached our kids together. Whatever the connection is, you point that out in the compliment sentence, and you say, "Let's stay in touch." That's just There's nothing to disagree with. What are they going to say when they get that? Yeah, this is great. Hey, it's good to see you again. Thanks. Now, the next time you see them, you don't have to pounce on them. Often, if you do this right, and you'll get better at it, they'll say something to you. Hey, I read that book. Man, I had a couple questions. And then you'll learn what to say. What I would say is, well, did you reach out to your financial professional? What are they going to say then? I don't have one. Can you help me? You can't get that wrong. But if you try and say, hey, I need to meet with you, they may already have a financial professional that they weren't sure if they were going to use or not. But if they ask you for an appointment, you can't get it wrong. You just got to position it that way. That's the kind of stuff I do, and I know you do too. But a lot of people don't, I think. I think a lot of people think, I gave you a book, you owe me an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You can't think that. If you think that, it'll come out somehow, the vibe of you. But let's stay in touch. What a great way to finish that off. Now, if it's somebody who's in your filing cabinet, so many of our viewers have clients, been with us for years, and they've got people that, and so talk about what you say to them.
Well, first I thank them. You know, they're my livelihood. They're the reason I have my lifestyle.
Right.
And so it's just, here's something I can send them as a thank you for being a client. And by the way, I am curious about what they're getting out of the book.
Right.
Because probably with them reading the book, there's a good chance they're going to come up with, well, I didn't think about that. When can we talk again?
Right.
So it's just a thank you and curious as what they get out of the book.
Well,
feedback.
And there's things that are in the book that you didn't talk to them about because it maybe didn't exist yet. If you had a client a long time ago, there wasn't a way to get long-term care on your life policy.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that that may make some perfect sense today. So it's always a good idea that every few years they get their stuff reviewed one more time. And this is a chance to do that. And so I really feel like this is a great way. You've already got a relationship with them. They're already friends with them. That's a great way to do that. I like what you say. I'm looking forward to hearing which person in the book that you relate to the most. That's a great way. People love those characters in the book. So, and then, of course, you put your name and phone number. And I know you've got something you're doing in the back of the book where you put a sticker back there with mm-hmm. your contact information. And if you need more copies of the book, call this number. So we'll talk more about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a little bit of science that goes along with the art of sharing the book, being smart with this and being strategic.
Well, if they've been a client, it's not that they've never seen the milestones.
Right.
Those really haven't changed much in my 28 years.
Right.
We just didn't have a book to put them in to go, oh, yeah, we worked on that one. Yeah, oh, that, yeah, we did that. Oh,
yeah,
I don't
right,
know that
right.
much about that
oh,
one.
Oh, you know, I meant to get back together with you about the trust part. We never did that.
Yeah.
Or what's this thing about I didn't know you could do that with these kind of new policies.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Or that how money takes so much to make up a loss.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
All of that's in there. And by the way, that was part of the great challenge of building this tool was to have a tool that didn't require a license, that you could do with or without a license. It didn't mention products or companies, but could mention a little bit about strategies and do it in a way that didn't require a license. It wasn't considered a solicitation. All of that was really not easy to navigate.
Yeah.
To create one tool that would work for somebody who's been around for a long time or somebody who's new, somebody who's old or young, somebody who's male or female. I mean, there's no distinction you could have that this wasn't thought of that as we created it so that it would give you a chance to build your business. If your business is more securities-minded, and some of our leaders are, if it's more insurance-minded, and some of our leaders are, it's all in there because it's all either under one of those steps or can be covered by financial education and financial literacy. So very well thought out. As far as promotion goes, I don't think there's ever been a tool in the history of our business that's ever been on TV once, let alone 250 times,
yeah.
Ever had anybody do a review of it, let alone CNBC, the hardest hitting reviewer they have there, Kathleen Elkins. I mean, it is amazing what we've been able to do with this. And then to convert all those interviews into a media trailer that you know talks about this book, you hear people on ABC and CBS and NBC saying, 5 billion people around the world and all the stuff that's in that video. I just never seen that before. And so what an opportunity. Hey, if you don't like it, do something else. But you're still going to have to make a lot of contacts if you mm-hmm. want to build a successful business.
Yes.
And the old way is a way, but there's a reason it's called the old way, in my mind. There's a reason why it took so long. You know, this doesn't have to take that long, but you got to listen. You could, everything we've talked about today to save them from a mistake, if you don't listen to us, you're going to make those mistakes. It's just going to take longer. This is a 5 to 10 year journey if you make every mistake possible, which many people are on track to do. If you just listen to us, You could do it in 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years instead of 10 or 15 or 20. So just listen. I mean, we're trying to help you to go faster. Of course, the children of your clients, that's another great one, you know, especially for us, been around for a minute. They had little kids and now they're big kids and they got their own families maybe. And you may not have the relationship with the children that you have with the parents. And at some point in your career, the parents are going to pass it on to their kids who you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So what a great way to build a better legacy for your business than to reach out now where the mom and dad are endorsing this and say, hey, this is the guy who's been taking care of my stuff. Here's the book I just got from them. I got a copy for you. Now you're in the door. I noticed what you're doing. Talk about that for a second.
Well, it happened just yesterday, 1996, when I first met this client.
Wow.
And it called me, and at that time they had a little baby. Guess who had a little baby now?
The little baby.
The little baby.
Wow.
And so, okay, what's their name? What's their husband's name? What's the baby name? What's their address?
Wow.
And it's like, well, who else is going to help them? I mean.
Sure.
And so it's, yeah, the door's already open. And there's a good chance, because of the nature of our routine visits, they've seen me there over the years.
Sure, sure.
And so they know who I am.
You're their parents' financial guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. So. Well, I think the way you're doing this systematically is so powerful. And I know Bill Mitchell's doing a lot of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
He's been reaching out to his clients. He's been around this for a long time and has built up quite a base, like you have, of clients and their kids. And so then, of course, new prospects. You're always meeting new people. Everywhere you go, you meet somebody, you chat them up, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do from there?
Well, first, I think what you said before is you don't meet a stranger and hand them a book. You got to at least turn them into an acquaintance.
Right.
So that when you write a message, you know something about them that says, oh, he did connect. He was listening. He was
paying attention. I enjoyed playing golf with you today.
Yes.
Something.
Yes. And so, again, there are people out there that are looking for us, but they don't know we exist. And so the book is a great tool. I don't have to get them to an office. I don't have to go to coffee with them. It's just, how about we just share a book about the things we don't know about money typically,
right, right,
that could help you get smarter.
Well, I think if you can't write a strong compliment sentence, don't give them a book.
Yeah.
Because that's a hint. That means you don't know them. That means they're a stranger to you.
Yeah.
If they're a friend to you and maybe even a better friend, then you'll have something to write. And if you don't have anything good to write, make them a better friend first. Because friends respond to friends. People that know people respond to people that know people. So that's a very powerful way. Then referrals. I know you get a lot of referrals in your business.
Well, I think the number one mistake people make is they don't ask. And before I even got to this industry, I was in an industrial industry with a very narrow bandwidth. And I just learned if I asked, I'd get about 2 names per customer.
Wow.
And so just ask. What else can they say? No.
Right, right.
But if they give you a referral, you've now borrowed their trust.
Another credibility exchange.
Another credibility exchange.
Yep.
And it just makes it a lot easier. We are a referral-based business.
And you add the media and all these other things to it, and you got a referral too. I mean, gosh, it just starts to become very predictable.
And then our multiplier effect is, I don't know whether those referrals are going to become new clients or new associates.
There you
go. In my previous sales career, they could only become new customers.
Right, right.
So
right.
Power of getting referrals.
Well, and then former associates. You know, all of us have had people try this business, and, you know, I don't know why, but people in the United States are quitters a lot of times. They try something, if it doesn't work out exactly like they wanted to, they say, oh, to heck with it. Really dumb. But one thing I do know about people who have quit here, there's a good chance they quit for the wrong reason, and there's also a good chance, if it was a minute ago, they don't even know what we're up to now.
Yeah.
And sometimes they still have the belief in what we do for families. Maybe they thought the entrepreneurial side just wasn't for them, but now they find out we got tools like this, we're like, well, hey, if I'd have had that. The minute we published this book, I thought of dozens of people that didn't work out for, that if they had a tool like that, it would have. Because it could have saved them from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were too shy. Maybe they didn't really quite know how to start a conversation. You know, it's a little awkward if you're new and you only have words. And somebody says, hey, what's going on? You go, yeah, not in my mind. You know, because you just don't know where to start. And it seems weird to, like, give them 30 minutes worth of words when they said hi.
Yes.
But if you say, hey, I don't know if I told you or not, but I now teach people how money works. Oh, how's that work? How's that going? I wish I knew that. And that doesn't feel like you're wearing them out. They're
yes.
They're asking you stuff. And if you get to a point, which we've all typed out for them many times, where they ask for a book, you can't get that wrong if they ask you to give them one. And so there you go. So it's a very powerful way to do this. And talk about some of the things, conversations you've had.
Well, just again, part of his former associates, a lot of times the confidence wasn't there that they could ever learn the words or, you know, what were they going to say, versus now they have this tool. They don't have to worry about what to say. So
right.
It was a confidence issue. It could have been a timing issue.
Right.
But confidence is normally the number one issue. They didn't have confidence because they didn't know what to say when they talked to someone. And now it's so easy. Do you mind if I just share some information about how money works, something nobody teaches us, and I thought of you?
Well, talk about for a second what you do after that then. You've obviously got the book stuffed with a CNBC article.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure one of those every time?
Absolutely. And again, learning this whole process was, you know, making sure the note is on the inside page, facing page, so people can read it, not
right
the
away.
Inside cover.
Right.
Adding the article, credibility piece. Does it cost a little bit of money? Yes, it's color copy. But don't do it in black and white.
And it's a pain in the butt. I mean, but it's a pain in the butt to not have them as a client.
Yes.
You know, we could put the article in the book when we print them, but then it becomes part of the book and it's not the same. It's not a third-party article if it's printed in the book. It becomes propaganda almost.
Mm-hmm.
This is CNBC, the big company, their Make It series. They are just as likely to hammer you as they are to say something good about what you're doing. And she loved this. And I'm so thankful she interviewed us and talked about the Rule 72, because that's the one thing that can make you maddest the quickest as you start learning a little bit about money, is this will point out the how bad the ripoff really is.
Mm-hmm.
The number of years disparity between what a bank pays you and what they get when you have a credit card with them, those kind of things. Just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you got the label you put on the inside back there, and you're showing them the exact number of the Avery sticker and how you do that. I know you got your assistant helping you do that. You got your phone number there, so I guess if anybody has any questions, they can reach
text
out
me.
To you, text you, sure. Then you make sure at some point, somewhere along the line, they get a copy of that media video.
After the book is mailed.
Yes.
As a precursor, so that lull time between I'm mailing you a book, you mail the book, and immediately text them or email them that video clip so they, again, get some credibility piece that says, this is why I've sent you the book, and this is why you're going to want to read it.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. And we, again, early on, we left that step out, and we didn't get the results we get today.
Yeah, right.
Using the leverage of all the media and credibility.
I will tell you, even to this day, and I was sitting there in those studios, it blows my mind that we are sitting at NBC or CBS or ABC, and the interviewer's right there, and they're asking us these questions, and this is now, and it's about this, the words of our careers, the things we've been doing for families for all these years, and you got a chance as one of our teammates now to grab all that and make it be the win in your sales.
I thought maybe we should go back to a whiteboard in front of a group
of
people.
Yeah, turn your back on the crowd.
Yeah.
Try and write and talk at the same time. Yeah, it'd be really fun. So you talked about the spreadsheet. Of course, as you send the books out, you track all that. And as you follow up with them, that's kind of your checklist for following up too, is it right?
Absolutely. And some people, you know, if you know how to use a CRM, and WFG website has Engage, it's part of what we have available. But spreadsheet for the book seems to be the easiest until you maybe get them further down the pipeline where they are true prospects for being a client or associate. Then I see it's better to move them to your CRM.
Right.
But to quickly just see who's in the list to get a book.
Who's got it? What's up?
Yeah. Have I followed up yet? Spreadsheet's the easiest way to
Fantastic.
Do it.
Fantastic. Well,
or
really,
a yellow pad,
really
if that good. Works for you. So,
and of course, you've got some of your follow-up stuff here. I was just calling to see if you got the book that we sent you. That's, of course, easy. And they say, what book? Or, you know, whatever. You have those conversations.
Yes.
And you know right where it is. Well, I sent it to you last Monday, so hopefully you'll get it here in the next day or two. Something like that, I guess that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they said they did, I think your question there, you're doing about which person in the book did you relate to the most to, that's a great way to say that. It's hard to get that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also ask for referrals. If you say, hey, could you think of somebody right off the top of your head that makes sense, that they ought to get a copy of this? Somebody you work with or somebody, I know you're saying that.
Yeah.
And you pick up another name or two, and there's more people to reach out to.
Exactly.
So it really could never end if you get this right.
If you want to stay in a warm market, then stay in a warm market.
Right. And a referral is warmer than anything else.
Right.
It sure is. So you know, you also talk to people about the ways you think we can help them. You know, things about updating what they have or refreshing it or just let me take a peek at it. Anybody that I meet, you know, I end up getting in that conversation and let them know that, hey, there's things that only financial professionals know about the financial industry, but if you knew them, you would do some things different with your finances. And that piques them a lot. And they want to get that book and they want to talk to somebody. And they, you know, just stuff like that that I've learned how to say over the years. Of course, you also let them know that we're expanding. We need teachers, educators, people that can help us to spread the word about financial literacy in a real, meaningful way. And then any referrals they have, if it's just simply not for them, who could you think of that you could give your book to? And I can't tell you, not every day, but once or twice a week, somebody reaches out to me and says, I gave a book to somebody I knew. They shared it with somebody I didn't know and never would have met. And this happened or that happened. We even had one where it went to somebody else beyond that, and that person reached out and made something happen. So
good thing you put your phone number in there.
Yes, yes. And of course, keep track of all this and be organized as you can. I know there's always a divide between those that do a lot and those that keep track of it. Because if you keep track of it, sometimes it ends up being smaller. And so if you had to err on the side of just blitzing and getting it all out there, and you'll sort it out later. Mm-hmm. But as far as cost of this goes, I thought it was good how you broke it down. There's the cost of the book, getting it and the shipping and all that. And then you've got the cost of the envelope, the postage, the equipment and service. And then you got labor in there because you do have somebody help you do this. And so total cost for book to you is $10. I can tell you back when we got the company started, I would send people one or two or three and four and $5 brochures. I'd make a bunch of black and white copies. I put a $5 videotape in there. And then I'd spend $15, $20, $30 getting it to them. And if it was overnight, sometimes it'd be $100 to start with. Mm-hmm. And that eventually came down to about $75, we thought was a great deal. Then I'd give them some $10 or $20 phone calls. So I might have $100 or $150 and saying boo to somebody. But today, for a fraction of that, obviously if you hand it to them, you could skip a lot of that. But the idea is that you can get 100 books out for basically $100. And if you don't have to pay somebody to do the labor part, you could make it less because that'd be... And there's what it looks like. You know, every day when I come in and I look in that white box out there, you've got books like that. You got the label, printer, and the whole thing. It's got the How Money Works logo next to the From name. You not only have these from Steve Miller, but you're helping your teammates do it. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, my teammates just text or email me a name and an address, and Lori's got really nice penmanship, and she sends the note from them.
Fantastic.
Signed with their name, and then the return address is also from them, not from me.
Fantastic.
So they know who the book is coming from.
That's just incredible. And so there's where you get it. That's the net stamps of shipping starter bundle upgraded. Not cheap.
No.
But it makes you look like $1 million when you send those things out.
Well,
just
yeah, you've got to break it down. If you're going to 1,000 books, you can get your money back pretty quickly.
You can. You can.
It's so convenient.
And you look totally different when that comes in the mail. It looks like you're the real deal. But if you can't do it right away, handwrite a few. Yeah. You know, a book out is a book out. You know, share a few by hand. That doesn't require a machine.
No.
But anything you can do to automate some of this, of course, makes it better as you're going to try and do volume. And you as a team, if you're going to try and do 10,000 books, get one of these. I mean, you got the scale, you can use it for other things.
Well, that's right. We use it for other things.
You use it for other things, right. So that's important. So here's the return on the investment, which I thought this was really good what you did. For 10 books, if you get one client, if you're at 25%, it's a $750 profit. If you're 35, it's $1,000. 50% is $1,500. And 65% is $1,950. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know any other things that we could offer someone that has a better return.
Yeah. And then, of course, if they become a teammate, that's priceless because it could be overrides forever.
Yes.
And many of us have had that. I mean, Bill Mitchell was the name of my prospect list one day.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in our business, and it's been a really good one. So the question comes down to this is what we'll leave with. How many books do you and your team have in circulation? That's what's going to determine the size of your business in many ways. Now, if you don't want to use books, take the word books out and insert however you're going to contact people. Are you going to do drop-bys? Are you going to what are you going to do that's going to give you the chance to put volume to this? This is a chance to put volume to something that traditionally has been limited to onesies and twosies, small meetings, small because you're only one of you at a time. But with books, gosh, you could run this up to 10,000. You know, typically, teams contact 10,000 people in their whole career. We're talking about doing it in a campaign. At worst, doing it in a year. So you take an entire career's worth of numbers and collapse it down into a year or into a part of a year, You've changed everything. So talk about your plans as you say amen to this.
Well, it gives me shivers thinking about it, because part of my goal when we started this was to say, Tom's going to probably write a new book someday. And I wanted to make sure our team picture was in the middle of it.
Nice.
So I've got this BHAG that I put up, and sometimes I got to be reminded of it and that it's possible. And all I can say is, I don't know a better time. I mean, I just had somebody in the office this morning that's got a great background in working with companies and helping people. And I'd given her a book a while back, and she's going to start something on her own. We talked about how this could work, and she's like, that's pretty awesome. Well, the book helped that process. So all that credibility I have that I can share and then give my team the tool that we never had before, that they don't have to travel like we did, it's still work.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just accelerates the process and does give the total possibility, because I am gifted enough, I believe, that I can impact 1 million families. And you think about the rest of the financial industry. If someone says that in an office, they go, you're out of here. What are you? But no, we can, because of our business model, our tools, and why not?
Well, the thing that's impacted me most about this has been how this makes people feel. When you read that, that makes you feel like this is solid. This is real. This is important. This is worth me betting my future on, that this is something I could believe in and I could get out there and I could share this message with people and make a real difference in their life. And that's what people end up connecting to, that you could get that from my words alone, but how many people could do that? Who's gonna wait 40 years to have the words? But if you had the 40 years worth of words in your hand and you could share it, and you could share it with as many people as you think about, well, then you could have a big business, not overnight, but close to overnight. And it would make everybody feel like you're in something big and solid and worthwhile and valuable. And that's what this is all about. That exchange of all those good feelings happens when you share a book. Bill Mitchell was telling me this morning about he was at a meeting and a guy walked up to him and had his book in his hand and was going around the meeting getting all the leaders to sign his book for him. And he said, I just want to thank you guys because this has changed my whole business. He lives in Denver. And he said that my business was never the same once I switched to this. I didn't switch soon enough. I should have. But he said, now that I have, everybody I talk to, I feel like I've got a shot to make them a client or a teammate or both. And that wasn't that way before. And now it is. And he showed his ring. He's got a 250 ring. He was in Hawaii with us this year. And he said both of those two things happened because of this book. So we'll have him on a show here in the future to talk about
great.
His story.
Good.
But I'm telling you guys, this is your chance. This is the chance to reach out and get into the world as you know it, the market that you have, and build your business in the best way possible. So, Steve, thanks for doing this today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a guest on Leadership Live.
Thank you for tuning in to Leadership Now, WealthWave's official podcast. If you like this episode and want to hear more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast or Leadership Now on iTunes. Join us each week to grow as an entrepreneur and succeed as a leader in the financial business with WealthWave.